countrywide on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by the Irish Farmers Journal. Now with our highest ever readership of 321,000 weekly readers.
Now, early in the programme, we were talking about the winter lull in the work of many farms. But on dairy farms, things might be quite on the surface, but underneath, dairy farmers are deep in preparation for calving. Joining me to reflect on spring calving 2022 are three dairy farmers, Gillian O'Sullivan, Linda O'Neill, who are neighbours in County Waterford, I believe, and Louise Crowley, farming in County Limerick. You are all very welcome.
Thanks, Marty.
Good morning to you all. Can I start with you, Gillian, and just give us a very brief synopsis of your farm and yourself?
Sure, yeah. I'm farming here with my husband, Neil, and my father, Michael, and we have just 100 cows of a dairy farm here. And we're at the moment, you speak of the lull in the calendar, and for with the our cows went dry at the end of November. So during December, we put our feet up, the alarm clocks are turned off, and we're enjoying those later mornings when we don't have to milk. Mm. But just about now, we're beginning to just prepare ourselves, prepare the farm, checking, I heard the milking powder being turned on the other day to see that everything was working and serviced, and just getting ready to ramp up to go from, you would say, a few hours a day of work up to, which will be in February, maybe up to 16, 18 hours a day at a time.
So you're painting a lovely picture. I get this idea that you've been scrubbing everything in sight, Gillian. Can you describe the work of the past week or so?
Well, you might not want to look in the dishwasher at times here, but so I guess everything has to be prepared and cleaned down. So all the feeders, all the housing, all the milking parlour have to be serviced to make sure that it's in full working order. And you just get all these, so because the days become very, very busy and hectic, to have all that preparation done, preparation is key to having a successful calving season. So as well as that, then you have to stock up the freezer and the fridge, because all that extra work brings, and burning extra calories brings certainly maybe five or six large meals in the day, I realise.
They've got to be catered for as well. You've seen calves being born since you were a child, Gillian. Can you describe the excitement, both then and now, of that first calf arriving?
Oh, Marty, I remember when I was small, so on our farm here, there was a small little calving shed, and the way the sheeting, the galvanized sheeting would come down and meet the wall at the side, there was a tiny gap of about an inch in the side, and when springtime would kick in and there was a cow inside there, we'd be told on the yard, be quiet now, let her at it, but there was a perfect vantage point where you could just step up on a little wall and peek through this one-inch gap. And you could see the whole thing going on. So you had this wonderful viewing platform that was totally quiet and secluded. And you could watch the whole process. So from the tail lifting to the little 2 feet appearing and the head coming out and then the whole thing. And it was magical. And it actually it still remains magical today. And I remember when we had a German girl on our farm, and she was helping out here as an au pair. And we even had her caught up in the fun of it. She used to run from the table. She'd hear a cow calving, and she'd run from the table up onto the yard just to see the whole thing. It is a magical process, and so we're very fortunate to be able to experience it year in, year out.
Yeah, and you still have that love, obviously, of the farm and of land. That's Gillian O'Sullivan. Louise Crowley, you're farming in County Limerick. Tell me about your farm.
Yeah, so I'm farming here in partnership with my dad, John. We're calving down 180 cows this year, and all spring calving, and we already have 3 calves.
Already?
Yeah, so we started a small bit earlier than, I suppose, the traditional dairy farm with the 1st of February start. So we have 3 arrivals on the ground.
I know you were counting down to the first calf arriving around the 20th, I think, of this month. But a cow due on the 23rd gave you a surprise this week on the 12th. Is that correct?
Yeah. So we scan all our cows so that we know when their due dates are. And we know some of the cows if they're having a male or a female. Mm. And when it comes to cows, generally, you can say they'll probably come a week early. It's kind of an unwritten rule. You need to be planned earlier than you think they're coming. Mm. But yeah, it was a surprise. We had one come 12 days early, and we had one yesterday come 14 days early.
Oh my gosh, fantastic. I know some people, I think your dad uses the phrase, lay a hand on a cow when she's close to calving. What exactly are you looking for?
So when they're getting close to calving, you'll see their udder start to fill up with the colostrum for the calf, and they're getting ready for the arrival of the calf. And you, when you walk through the cows, you check them to see if you notice any changes in their behaviour. And then their pin bones are either side of their tail. And the closer they get to calving, they start to drop down. It's basically they're just making room for the calf to actually come out. So Dad would be better at it than I would be. He's a lot more experienced at it. But you just put your hand on him and give him a feel, and you'll notice, if you're checking him a couple of times a day, you'll notice the change in them.
Isn't nature wonderful, Louise? Just fantastic.
It's amazing how cows go about calving. And, you know, we're lucky we don't have to do a whole pile to assist them. They know the routine. It all comes naturally to them.
And I presume it is Sod's Law that you can watch a cow all day, but the calf will be born the minute your back is turned.
Oh, I can guarantee, and it's usually all night you're watching them. And it'll come to the morning when you started doing the routine day jobs, the next thing you turn and you've a calf waiting for you.
Fantastic. I presume now you have the milking parlour back in action. For how many cows did you say?
Yeah, milking parlour is back up now, running for the last 3 days. We've 3 cows in total, so 3 calves to be fed.
Well, you're busy, obviously, Louise. And thank you so much for describing and again giving us that insight into your life. Linda Crowley, you're farming in County Limerick, I believe. Tell me all about Linda O'Neill.
Yeah.
I've got my Louise's and my Linda's all mixed up. Linda O'Neill, neighbours in County Waterford. Tell me about your farm, Linda.
Yeah, Marty, I'm originally probably slightly different to the two ladies. I'm on a leased dairy farm in Dungarvan in County Waterford. I'm originally from Castletown Bear in West Cork, so moved down to Waterford and was originally a farm manager in Mount Mallory Abbey for the Monks, and subsequently then leased a dairy farm outside Dungarvan, and I'm in partnership there with Pat Ryan, and we milk 180 cows on that farm.
Are you a neighbour of Gillian's then?
Neighbour of Gillian's, yeah. Gillian's only across the way from me, up in the hill. I can see Gillian's farm from our own farm, yeah.
You can wave to each other. Now,
yes.
I could well imagine it's very busy, particularly at this time of the year, and you need extra labour. Are you hoping that all the arrangements will be in place? I believe there's somebody joining you this week?
Yeah, that's correct, Marty. I have a farm manager employed full-time. He's Hungarian. He's actually just been away on holidays for the last 2 weeks. So on our farm, it's been quiet, really. I'm just building up the jobs for next week when he gets back. We're due to officially start calving on the 5th of February. So we've a good bit of work ahead of us next week in terms of getting the animal health. We'll vaccinate the cows and dose the cows and make sure that that's all covered to get the cow ready. And then after that, we'll start to get our calf houses ready, disinfection and cleaning. We have a lot of it done, but we're quite precise on the hygiene, so we actually go over it all a second time. It would have been done last season when we finished calving, but we go over it all again and do it a second time. And there's a new team member joining us then. Hopefully by the 1st of February, we'll have a second person on board to help for the spring workload, because it's going to be a busy 6 weeks.
Absolutely. I was just going to say that. It is a busy time of the year and tiring. Is that a real consideration when it comes to health and safety for everyone working on the farm?
Yeah, it is. I suppose that would always be at the front of my mind, the health and safety of the team, and in terms of getting their time off. Even though it's a very busy time, we run a rostered system where everybody gets their time off, which is crucially important that they have that rest break. And they can't be expected to work 24/7, or you will have incidents on farm that just wouldn't work, you know.
And Linda, was the pattern of calving different to your father's farm in West Cork? Was there a difference?
Yeah, I suppose growing up in West Cork, we would have had a split calving system where we were calving in the autumn and in the spring, and we also lamb sheep as well. So the workload was spread across the season. So every day was probably a busy day. But when we moved down to Dungarvan, I was quite focused on the spring calving system after spending some time farming in New Zealand as well. And we calve now to grass, so that would be a huge focus. I suppose we do grass measurement and get the cows calved compactly in 6 weeks and get them out to grass, which is the the cheapest and most sustainable feed to feed the cows, you know.
Now, hundreds of thousands of cows will be born in Irish dairy farms over the next couple of months. And they are a big policy issue here and in Europe. Indeed, the European Parliament will debate banning the transport of animals under 5 weeks of age this week. And we will come back to this policy issue here on Countrywide, here on Radio 1. But Gillian, at the level of your own farm, how do you manage cows and provide them with a sustainable pathway?
Yeah, that's a great question, Martin. And we have changed our breeding strategy over the last couple of years. So we focus on generating better replacement heifers from, let's say, the elite cows on our farm, and using that we've done that through using newer technology such as sex semen and using things like sensor cow monitoring collars to make sure that you're using sex semen in the optimum time window for success. And at the same time, then so that has helped us to focus. With sex semen, you're the semen is sorted, so you're getting a female calf there for your producing next generation of milking cows. And when you can do that and focus it on the best cows in the herd, that means that the remainder of the herd, so we'll have over 2/3 of our cows this year are in calf to either beef AI or a beef stock bull. So that's creating much higher quality beef coming from the dairy herd, which is, you know, it's a better and more sustainable product all around.
And Linda O'Neill, all of you have used sex semen to breed the best dairy cows. Is this the future, do you think, for dairy production, dairy operation?
Yeah, Marty, I definitely believe it is. I suppose I have a background in genetics. I worked with LIC Ireland for a number of years as well, so I have quite a passion on breeding and genetics. And sex semen was in its infancy when I started with LIC, I suppose, back in 2011. And it's huge now, and I see it as being hugely important to that, like Gillian said, we have our best cows and breed our very best cows to dairy replacements. So we're generating elite animals for the future herd. And then those cows that that aren't as high genetic merit within our herds, we're breeding those to beef. And it's just a very sustainable breeding plan. I firmly believe it's the future for our industry.
And Louise Crowley, your bull calves go to beef calf rearer locally. Is it difficult to find farmers to rear bulls to 2 years of age?
Not really. Like it's a situation where, you know, you can look around and kind of, I suppose, suss out people, are they interested? And we do that where, you know, our bull calves are all sold to people that we'd know and that we know are good farmers and are going to rear them to the highest standards, because at the end of the day, we keep them for between maybe a month or 6 weeks. And I've put a lot of time into rearing them to that stage. So you want them to get the best afterwards. So there is a market out there. There is people that are looking for Friesian bull calves. There can be a living made off of them as well.
And Louise, when the calving season is finished, what will happen then? What's your plan?
So we hope to be finished the calving season the first week of April. There's about 10 days of, I suppose, a break between calving, and then we're into the next job, which is breeding all the cows and putting them back in calf again for 2023.
And how about you, Linda? Would you think about going on a holiday if we were allowed with COVID and everything?
Absolutely, Marty. That's actually the first, probably you'd say we have a busy week ahead of us next week. But when my manager comes back, every time he comes back after holidays, we sit down, we plan the next break, and we all know when it's coming up. Each of us will take a week off post calving and pre breeding, and that's a refresher for everyone. And hopefully this year, Marty, it might be booking a flight. Yeah,
all going well. Wish you well. And Gillian, any plans for?
Oh, just as Linda said there, that window of opportunity to take a break, you have to grab it with both hands, because you do work hard enough when at the busy times of the year, but making the most of downtime is very important, just to recharge the batteries again. So absolutely, it's always time to pencil in something to get off the farm.
Well, I know the next couple of weeks are going to be very busy, and I think you've described both your love of what you do and also how busy it's going to be in the next couple of weeks. And we wish all of you, Gillian O'Sullivan, Louise Crowley and Linda O'Neill, good luck with all the work in the coming weeks. And thank you for joining us on Countrywide.